Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Panther Airsoft Folding Table Talk. This is episode 94. This is going to be Gear Talk. Is this Gear Talk 2.0 or is this our first Gear Talk? I think we had a Gear Talk before.
We have had Gear Talks before.
Okay. I will rewrite that to 2.0. Or just leave it as is.
2.0A1A.
All right, and leading the talks is going to be Mac. This is going to be Tax, or sorry, this is going to be Mac's podcast. So I'll pass it on to him, and we'll sit down with Mac and break down what's some good gear for 2022 and all this other stuff: Gucci Repro, Barb Kit, Impressionist, Surplus Gear, you name it. We're going to be talking about it. Take it away, Mac.
Take it away, Tax.
Okay. Hey guys, welcome to the show or welcome back. I wanted to us to kind of revisit and at least have a discussion on gear and what's going on with like the, you know, current climate of things and what's hot, what's coming out, what's new, what's tried and true, what's just basically get everyone's opinion. I did try and gather a pretty good round table here as well. Me and my two hosts have quite a bit of experience, and then my two guests here and friends as well. Thank you for coming on, Henry and Dennis. Really appreciate it. These guys are pretty knowledgeable in the sport as well. And when it comes to gear, they share my addiction of just buying stuff. And we just buy stuff, don't we, guys? It's out of control. So basically I wanted to go in and get everyone's thoughts and opinions on some of the topics that we have written out, and then we'll just go into picking each other's brain and bouncing things off, because I know we're going to have different opinions on certain things and on quality, price, budget. Obviously everyone comes from different lives and everything like that, so this reason that I did want to kind of dive into this as well is that with the summer coming around and airsoft kind of at the peak, peak airsoft season for the summer of 2022 and stuff like that, we have seen a huge influx of new players, you know, and it's great to see. We never ever are going to turn down new players. But obviously with new players, always come the same questions. So that's why I wanted to kind of go into, what it is, when it comes to playing airsoft on, what makes good gear? Do you need good gear? What is good gear? You know, like at what price point does it become, Amazon? And then does it become Gucci? Like, can you still buy Gucci on Amazon? Does that make it not Amazon anymore? Or, right? These are the things I have going around in my head, guys. But I'm really glad to bring you guys on to ask these questions and stuff. So the first thing that I want to go around to and ask everyone is obviously their opinion on what makes good gear, right? And I know that's kind of a broad question, throwing it out there and everything like that, but everyone's going to have their differences on whether something is modular and they're able to kind of adapt it to their play style, or if it's something that is a good fit. Obviously fit has a lot to do with equipment that you're wearing and what kind of player you are, whether you're running around or you're crawling through the mud or you're trying to hide and be a bush. Everyone's going to have different needs and stuff like that. So Mr. Poi, I want to ask you first. So in your mind, with those sorts of things right there, what makes good gear in your mind for 2022? Like, what do you run? What's tried and true for you? What do you got?
I haven't actually bought gear in like 2 years, honestly, because...
Okay, you guys, we're going to end the podcast right now. Wrap it up!
So the reason is that some of the gear that I bought a while ago has lasted me this long already. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about my HSGI gear. Yep. I did, back in like 10 years ago, the first line belt was really popular with the, like the JPC, right? With like the JPC or whatever, is in front of you with mags. That was a popular option right there. JPCs were really popular back then, very hard to get. Now they're not hard to get because everybody's, imitated them, copied them, and made them into their own thing. So those were the popular options back then. So being first line belt, I have HSGI, Taco mags and everything. on my side here, I used to run, I only exclusively run Glock, so I didn't have to change up a lot of my, like holster setup. So mm-hmm. I haven't bothered changing it. It works for me. It's just a cheap, I don't even know, like a police duty, free level sort of.
Oh, it's like a real steel holster though.
Yeah. So I bought that a while ago. So, I spent the big bucks on it.
So cheap though,
no,
is it?
Right? It's not cheap. No, especially HSGIs. Like back in the day, $60 was a lot.
Do you have
for
just the tension tacos and stuff like that?
Yeah. Okay, no, the actual like clip on ones for M4 mags.
Okay.
And then I think I got tacos for the magazines, for pistol mags, and then a dump pouch, a Condor one. It's still operational to this day, so I mean that's good, I guess, for Condor. And then some sort of a medical pack at the back, which is like a like an IFAC kit that I have at the back of my butt area. So yeah, I'm much wider, so I have a little bit more free real estate. It's free real estate, right? So I could fit all that, and then I got a radio pouch on the back there, and then my knife. So I could fit a lot of things in my hip.
And then some more room. Yeah.
And then I could literally put more room at the front.
But so basically what I'm getting from a sense of all of your purchases, especially since there hasn't been any new ones, right? Like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, no, it hasn't broken on me. And that's tried and true to like $60 back then was a lot, but I think it's now increased through inflation and stuff. So
it's just inflation. Don't worry.
Yeah. I get you. So yeah, that's what I bought. And then I have my Russian side of things as well. I got my Smirsch that I bought from SSO. I forgot what the brand was, but it's the one that some of the RR guy uses. So I followed their sort of guide on what to get. So my Smirsch I love using because it basically just takes the load off my hips and puts it onto my shoulders, and it's a little bit more comfortable for me putting mags on the side. And I've gone to a point where I don't like putting mags at the front anymore. I like putting them on the side because I like to crawl a lot. Like when you're prone, you're crawling, right?
And the last thing you want to do is crawl over some mags.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that one's nice. It's got the butt pack. It's got the dump pouch. It's got the AK mags that can also hold like a 417 mag, and as well as like a long boy mag from an AK as well. Yeah, so that's pretty much my gear choice. I have other sort of like Emersons and all that fun jazz, but I find that they don't last that long. Honestly, if I buy Condors or any of this stuff that's been around, I like to just give them out to other players to to play. And then once I give them out, they'll start to tear, they'll start to fatigue or wear out over time, which is. I get it. And then compared to the stuff that I have, like the HSGI and all that fun jazz, they've lasted longer than these guys have. So there you go. That's
your take on that.
That's my take on it, yeah.
Okay, so I'll bounce it down to Raisin. I'll ask you the same thing. So for you, I know we've obviously, changed a lot from where we started Airsoft. And then, obviously your work has a lot to do with it as well. And then where you are now and stuff. So for 2022, in your mind, right, what makes good gear, right? Because everyone's going to have different things that they're looking for. So what is it that you're looking for in gear?
So for myself, what makes good gear is it has to be comfortable. It has to carry what I need. And it has to be very durable. Because
So comfort is first.
Yeah, comfort is probably the first one, because if it's not comfortable, you're going to be wearing it for, a couple hours. And I usually, I don't take my plate carrier off, or I don't take any of my gear off, maybe except my belt, in between games. So if I can wear it all day and I don't mind it, then that's the key thing. And then, obviously, it has to carry my stuff, everything that I need to go and play. I'm not if I don't want to make sacrifices here and there, can I carry this one extra mag, or can I carry this multi-tool? I want to be able to carry everything that I need, but also obviously have not sacrificing comfort, right? And then the last one would be durability. Obviously durability would probably encompass all of it. That would probably be the all-encompassing one. So that's what I find that's most important. Just because I don't really care about how expensive the gear is, how cheap it is. If it works, does what I need it to do, and it's comfortable and it just lasts, then it's great. Because I, when I can, I will come every weekend if I could, right? But obviously, because I work shift work, some months I can't come. But the months that I can come, I go every week, sometimes Saturdays and Sundays. And if there's a holiday, I'll go 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Back to back.
She's running the game. Yeah, like just because I want to get my fix in, because it is like an addiction for us, you know. But that's why, like, I think like durability, comfort, all that. Like, I wouldn't rank any of them. I would say they're all like the same. That's my trifecta. It's got to be.
Yeah. So those three right there are your immediate. So for your setup right now, currently, what is it that you're running? And then like, how have you changed that up? And are you planning any changes?
So right now I'm running Ferro Slickster just because price point wise, it was great. It's very comfortable. I run foam plates in it, not weighted plates or not real plates, just foam plates, just for more rigidity. And I run a Persec placard just because it holds three mags. And realistically, I only need those three mags. Plus, on the cummerbund of the Slickster, I can put like up to, I think, six mags. But I only put maybe, I think, one on each side. And that's it. I only carry like six or seven mags with me when I play. And I run a GBB. Sometimes I'll carry a speed loader. Sometimes I don't. But on top of the Slickster, I also have a kangaroo pouch, like a, you know, everyone calls like a dangler or like a fanny pack, that kind of thing. I have a repro one actually, because my justification is the real one is like $80, and it is not a high contact area where like it rubs against a lot of things. So if it lasts, if it doesn't break on me within like a month or even like it's, I've used it for like 5 months now and no signs of wear. So I'd say for that, like, it's great bang for your buck. Cause the real one, is it going to be better? No, it's doing the same thing. Maybe it'll last longer, but I still have yet to wear mine out because I paid $20 for mine. So you can't complain.
Yeah, that's perfect. We're definitely going to get into that later on where to save and when to save. Right.
Yeah, so for sure.
Yeah.
And in terms of belt setup, I actually run a HSGI, the 1.75 Riggers belt.
Oh, yeah.
Just I like the thickness because it kind of holds the pouches better.
Do you load it up a lot or is it?
It's pretty minimal. Like I have a S-TAC 2x1 or 1x2. I don't know what they call it now, but it pretty much it's like one pouch that has two pistol mag pouches and an AR pouch.
Triple stack, right? Like it's like
So I held two pistol mags and then an AR mag, and then I have a dump pouch and I have my holster. And for the holster, I'm using a Safari Land for my high kappa, or if I'm running my SIG, my M17, I'm using an Alien Gear holster. But yeah, I originally used it with an inner belt, like a Velcro inner belt, but I find that it wasn't as comfortable. So I bought, HSGS sells these gel padded like liners that you can put onto like any outer belt that has like Velcro on it.
Okay.
It's more comfortable that way. And then
So you can run the belt naked, like without the.
Yeah, I can run the belt naked. I don't need like an inner belt and like.
To hold it down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if I take and it just feels easier to take the belt on and off, like sitting. Cause like if I'm sitting down, realistically, I don't need my gear with me. Right. If I'm just relaxing. And if I do it, it'll be like beside me.
I agree with you on the inner belt stuff with the Velcro on it, because if I wear it, again, I'm more wider. If my pants start falling down, all the gear goes with it. So I don't agree with it because it's just...
Okay, in the defense though, okay? Because I understand that point.
Dennis, eat more cheeseburgers, okay?
Yeah, there are companies that have made some pretty good... like two belt, inner belt, outer belt setup and everything like that. So I understand what you mean. Like, you know, and not to like to fanboy out here, because I know we're gonna get into the hype beast gear later. But the Ferro Bison belt, honestly, from the number of belts that I've tried to, like I've tried the HSGI one. I tried a number of Condor belts and everything like that. I think I had their laser cut Molly version. I had their like rigid like Ronin style one, and that one fell apart on me too. And honestly, a couple other ones. But the Bison belt really has held up for me, because God, I've had it now for I think almost 2 years, and like. I have it pretty loaded up with like quite a bit of stuff too, especially just running gas. Like, you know, I won't say it's the most rigid one. if you're looking for one that's like completely stiff, that Ronin Senshin belt, I've heard some horror stories about trying to put moly in that. So, you know, if that's your go-to, right? But okay, Henry, if you can unmute yourself, I would like to ask you, sir, in your opinion, what makes good gear, especially in 2022 with the crisis and the economy going on right now and the new things that are coming out and, you know, maybe restricting us from buying things that are American because, you know, they don't ship to Canada. We had that problem, you and I, but it's okay. We got there.
You mean I got there to pick it up?
You didn't even pick it up. Tom did. Get out of here.
What? I picked up the Safari Lens
for you. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that one. I was talking about the Spiritus stuff that you have on right now.
Oh, right. I still need to pay you for it. for me, it was a lot of trial and error. So I started off with a Yakeda from Amazon, just getting in.
Yep.
And then afterwards, seeing other people's, reading reviews, and just really kind of modding, okay, what do I want to do with this gear? Similar to Dennis, is I went for comfort first, then functionality. Given two different modes from HPA to gas, I run the FCPC strictly just because it has moly on the back so that I can run a backpack or a little thing in the back. So a lot of trial and error, and given the difficulties of getting material from the US, it's definitely been interesting and definitely been not as cost effective. Given the belt, I've gone through four belts in the short time spent. I started off with Kydex. Oh no, sorry, I started with a Velocity but battle belt, and then it was quite wide, so my fat started to chafe on it. And it was just floppy loppy. And then the second one, I went to a Kydex and just a naked belt. But the Kydex started bending because I like things strapped down. So if you've seen my dump pouch, it's strapped to my thigh, and then my Safari lens also strapped to my thigh. But the thing with the Kydex that it was too soft. It was when I want to withdraw something or something, pull my gun out of my holster, is that it would bend, and then either my pants would drop or rise up, and then the Velcro would start chafing me as well. So then I moved on to the Bison with the carbon, or is I think it's carbon.
It's like some kind of like carbon laser cut. The carbon fiber plastic or something like that. I don't know.
It's more rigid. So yeah. That was a long line of trial and error. Right now it's holding firm and again strapped down everything down. I need a good platform for it. My rig is also fairly modular as well, and I need stuff to keep my tools, my phone, my vape, or even my batteries for my flashlights. So that would be my Haley rig. So yeah, it's definitely comfort than functionality. And I've been sticking to what's working. I haven't really endeavored much else into different brands. I mean, there's lots of things like Agile, the wide mouth placard system. There's a lot of different companies that come out with very niche designs. But yeah, for me, it's working so far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. And Tack, now that you're back too, brother, I'd like to ask you in your wide opinion there, sir.
Wide opinion, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wide. It's quite wide, you know, from where we started, you know. And I mean, you know, for anyone that ever wondered, I could show you a picture of that from where we started to where we are now, you know, like what makes good gear?
Something that I guess like the other guys have sort of touched on this, but like something that's gonna last. Matt and I unfortunately went through the trials of that. If something can like, but it also depends on the type of player that you're gonna be. So for me, I was someone who wanted to be coming out every weekend and whatnot, and so I had something that lasted like a whole four weekends, right? So that was not something that impressed me whatsoever. It was one of those off-brand ones. I still have it, right? Because I've managed to fix it in certain ways, but it's mostly glue now. So I don't know if you can call that fixed. But yeah, for me, durability is probably the number one factor when it comes to gear. Comfort is sort of a thought, but not so much, I guess, because in the aspect for me, I'm only playing for short bursts at a time and whatnot. And When you're at a Milsim and whatnot, you kind of have to suck it up anyway, so you just deal with it. That's part of the game. Yeah, I don't know. That's where that is, you know. Like, from then to now, though, I wear less. Like, I thought you had to wear a lot more, right? I thought, you know, like when you were getting in and you needed to get, you needed to have everything, right? Like, full CPC, like GP pouches up the wazoo,
and dump an pouch on pack,
the thing, like... and let's not forget like the belt with the four extra mags, and you're just like another dump pouch, and it's like, what am I doing with my life here? You know, it's like, I am a mobile, what was it, I think I was carrying around like 28 mags or something like that when I first started. Like, it was ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Do not recommend.
That just sounds so expensive, and the fact that I was there to witness it makes it all that more brutal.
Yeah No, so now it's down to being like super naked, right? So high speed, you know, mobility is what I go for now, just because of the fact that I play on the weekend more than I would going to a Milsim. So that's kind of my angle at that.
Okay, well, perfect. So I'm just going to go down my list here again, guys, and basically we're going to talk about what makes it Gucci. So everyone's got different you know, definitions on what Gucci gear is and stuff like that. So I know my definition might be a little different from, you know, some people's when it comes to a certain brand, or you know, if they're going off a name brand, if they're going off of so right off the bat, like if I'm saying the word Gucci or anything like that, most of the time it either means like, yeah, it's either really expensive or it is impression correct, right? Or most of the time, if I am using the word for impressions, I'll use kosher, just meaning that it's clean and proper. But you know, Gucci is out there. You know, Gucci is real in the real life fashion, so obviously it's real in when it comes to airsoft fashion. You know, so Poi, in your mind, you know, like what makes gear Gucci, and you know, like just mixing that in there too with like Gucci versus repro, like when and where, like, you know, like do you have any Gucci gear, or would you like any Gucci gear?
I mean, I don't have a lot of Gucci gear. I actually pulled up the Urban Dictionary definition of Gucci, a slangish phrase upon. A phrase used to mean good, great, awesome, cool, chill, etc. Dude, that's all Gucci. Okay.
So it's like everything, yeah. Like...
It needs to be an airsoft definition here somewhere. But
we'll add it.
As far as Gucci gear goes, I mean, I don't have a lot of unobtainium gear. Most of my gear is just common gear. My years of playing airsoft, I've introduced a lot of friends, a lot of significant others I had before, you know, to the sport, and I ended up buying gear for them, gear for friends and stuff, and I mostly bought a lot of Condor stuff. Mind you, I have Condor gear and as well as Emerson gear that actually lasts longer than what most people would say they lasted from, but if you think about it, you know, I'll use it for like 4 or 5 games, and then kind of just sits on my little racks and stuff, and it kind of just sits there, and then if when someone needs gear, I'll be like, here, use this, you know, and then eventually, you know, a couple of years later, it'll have like a small tear or like a small little, you know, like the seam will start tearing, right? Then I start to see the quality of it. But as far as Gucci gear goes, probably the most expensive gear that I bought myself was the HSGI stuff. That's lasted me longer, and I would consider that Gucci. The duty belt, the duty holster that I had for police use, that one was somewhat Gucci, but as of 2019, 2020, that kind of, like, I guess it kind of died on me, because, like, I guess just crawling around, because my mentality changed from just, like, not touching the floor as much to going prone on the floor, and then all that stuff that hangs away from me. Like, I prefer my pistol to hang away from me. Yeah, that duty belt kind of just, or a garter. It was a garter. It was a garter holster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it kind of destroyed itself. Started to lose screws. Then again, you know, it's been like a decade since I last bought it, so I've never tightened the screws or anything. So I mean, yeah, that's that. So when I lost the screw, everything started to fall apart. So I'm like, okay, you know what? It's time to get a new one. I don't care. Like, you know,
yeah,
I've been
one
using
piece and it goes. Yeah.
I've been using the same Glock for like 8 years. So there you go. Like, it's, yeah, yeah. So it's time to get new gear. So either way, for me, the definition of Gucci for gear is basically like if it's lasted me almost a decade, I would consider that good.
Especially if you're measuring it off of a time metric.
I've used it a lot, and I could ask the older people as well who have older gear that doesn't exist anymore, and for them, it still lasted them, you know, like 10 years plus, right?
Heraclete.
Yeah. Yeah, repro for me is basically, I don't know. I wouldn't consider Condor much of a repro because some of their stuff lasts longer than the stuff that I had way before. So it's kind of hard to gauge, right?
It is, but then if you type in that the Urban Dictionary, if you still got it there and you type in repro, right? It's obviously short for like reproduction. So it's reproducing something that is of like a real world equivalent, right?
Boy, what have you done? You shouldn't have said Condor was good.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not promoting Condor is good. I'm just saying. Okay, so what it boils down to.
It's too late.
Me,
somebody clip that.
Yeah. So what it boils down to me is if you have someone that's going to come in for one season of Airsoft and you know they're not going to play for, the wintertime and stuff, right? Get it off the store. No problem. If it's the parents buying it, no problem. Your kid needs gear. He needs
something
to fit in.
He
needs to fit in. He needs to hold stuff right in the pockets, right? You could just buy that. You could just go there, buy some pouches for them or, literally a chess rig with just pouches and stuff. You're good to go. You're ready to play Airsoft. You're carrying mags, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that for me is like, is it good, bad? No, it's to the eye of the holder.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
They're using it to its full potential. It'll break. Yes. But then it's time for them to, it's that evolution of, hey, I've gone through my first repro kit. Should I go through another one or do I go the path of getting something that's more durable, right? Then that's more of a personal decision. I don't like to meddle around with people's decisions and stuff, but for me that's Gucci and repro, right? Something that'll last longer than a couple of years versus something that'll last like a year of Airsoft for me.
Yeah, well, it definitely comes down to the quality, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay, Raisin, throwing it back at you, buddy. Same kind of concept there. What makes it Gucci to you? And then obviously, like you've already told us, where it comes to, where and when, right? So, if you need to buy something of a higher quality, obviously, but if you're, if you can get away with saving that money on the dangler that is not in some super high contact area, then, you can get away, right?
Yeah. For me, I think Gucci gear is like obviously expensive gear,
but I'm on camera.
But it's pretty much anything that's like super popular, expensive and super popular on like social media. So like stuff like, guys, a lot of gun guys or like airsofters, they love following like all those tactical channels like GBRS guys, Haley Strategic. I don't know all these names are throwing out there, but
the gun tubers,
Whatever's popular, like whatever administrative results is reviewing, like stuff like Pharaoh, like think about it right now, like Pharaoh concepts
Spirit has the best marketing.
Yeah.
Ever.
This stuff is like popular right now, but I like 10 years ago, like when I first started airsofting, Pharaoh didn't exist. This stuff wasn't around. Pharaoh, Spiritus, all the popular stuff now, it wasn't a thing. Back then, like when I got into Airsoft, what was popular was still the HSGI tacos. Like what are those S-Tech Kiwis? Those things didn't exist.
No.
Those tacos, those were what's popular, right? So like Gucci gear will like change over time.
Yeah.
So like for me, it's whatever is like expensive and also popular at the same time. Because a lot of stuff that's popular that's not expensive. But anything that's popular and expensive, I think that's Gucci gear. Like right now, like you got anything Haley Strategic, that's obviously Gucci gear because that stuff costs an arm and a leg to buy. Pharaoh, Spiritus, all the big names right now, right? And in terms of like impression kits, like some of the stuff is like Gucci gear. Like I guess if you're looking at like, Special Forces, like the JPCs, like that stuff's Gucci gear. But like if you're going like, like an infantry, like
a grunt
impression kits. That is not Gucci gear. That is like bare bones. Like the government's
lowest bidder.
I can show you right now. Like
what can we give to these guys so they can carry the bare minimum to fight back? Like that's literally it. Oh, and save money. Like that's it. So yeah, for Gucci gear, it's like expensive and popular. And like for me, I don't really care too much about like buying Gucci gear or Repro gear. I just buy what like fits, you know, the trifecta I was saying. If it's comfortable, it's durable, right? And it holds what I need. Like I do have a lot of like Gucci gear. Like I used to have Haley Strategic stuff. I have Pharaoh stuff now. But stuff that's like stuff you're, if you're gonna use it a lot, spend the extra money. Cause like if you buy like let's just say the Slickster, for example, that I bought, I think it was like $300 all in, maybe, or maybe a little bit cheaper. But you can get a Repro one for $100. But if you're playing like every weekend, you know, like, and you plan to play more than that, like, or more than a year, get the real one. Because the Repro, like, who knows how long it'll last you. Like, the real one is tried and true. Like, people use it in the real world. Law enforcement use it. Like, it works, right? The Repro stuff is great. If you're out there, like, if you want to be that guy that has, like, 5-6 different plate carriers, the Repro stuff is fine. You're not going to be using the same plate carrier every game, every day, right?
It's inexpensive, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's a good way to get out and just enjoy because it does the same thing. Like, I don't care what anyone tells me. Like, you don't have to spend, like, $800 on a JBC when you can spend, like, $100, $200 on a Repro one, because if you're going to use it, like, maybe once a month or maybe once every couple months, like, they hold the same amount of mags. It's the same, like, it's the same system, so it doesn't really matter. It's just if you're going to be using something, like, for a long time and, like multiple times at least, get something that's durable. So, obviously, the Gucci stuff is better for that because, like, Repro stuff is great. Like, I have the Repro Dangler. I have a Repro chest rig, but I use my chest rig, like, people see me on the field. When's the last time you guys saw me in a chest rig? Like,
it's a while.
Yeah. Like it's hot. I still won't use the chest rig. It's very rare if I use a chest rig. So there's that. And like high contact areas, like don't cheap out on it. The sling.
Oh yeah. So exactly. And I was gonna say,
cheap out on a sling, because like whole point of airsoft obviously is to shoot people with like your airsoft gun. And if you're gonna carry your airsoft gun with like a piece of like nylon or fabric, make sure it holds it, because you don't want to drop your airsoft gun that costs like $500, $1,000, and then something breaks because your nylon just snapped. So spend like the $50 to $100 on a sling. There's so many good options out there. So that's one thing. Never buy a Repro. Everything else doesn't matter. Like obviously, just invest it if you can afford it, because airsoft isn't cheap. We all know that.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole for sure. Okay, throwing it to you, Henry, next. You know, like in your mind, from the kit that you started it, obviously, with the first, you know, the Crossdraw Amazon, was it like chest vest or whatever, right?
Like, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and to now where you've got some really nice kit, right? You know, like where has your mind kind of evolved on that? Like, you know, like what do you consider, you know, that Gucci kit? Is there anything that you're looking at, you know, that is something that you're trying to get, or...
Honestly, I'm happy with what I have right now. Gucci to me is really not more on the price point, but more in the sense of it's been tried, it's been tested, and it's been gone through the ringer. The Pharaoh, lots of people have had it, said good things about it. Haley, yes, at a higher price point, but it fits my high kappa mags much better than the S-Tex. So it's functionality. There. So for it's how useful it is to me, and durability comes second, but that's what proves as Gucci to myself. With that, you know,
that it works for you. Yeah, exactly.
It works for me. And you know, the cummerbund I have is the assault one where I can mount S-Tex on my left side. Right. If I use the elastic one, it digs into my ribs. So for me, that's a no-go. So then I'll relinquish it. Yes, there is some cost loss there, but again, I value functionality as Gucci. Yeah, price point to me, from the reviews, from testing, they are reviewed to be much durable. And of course, it comes with any brands there, and it comes with that price point. So it's different. It's different for me. Mm.
No, okay, perfect. And then Tack, if you can give me your, I know you and I are pretty much like, you know, I know what you're going to say, but other people don't know what you're going to say. So I need to hear you say it. You know, when it comes to where you started and where you are now, you know, like what in your mind is good? Actually, you know what? We are different. Wow. Tell me what you think, Tack.
Honestly, for me, Gucci, like, you know, Dennis had mentioned earlier, it does change over time and throughout, you know, the seasons and the years and whatnot. But for me, what's Gucci is any of that super hype beast gear, you know, anything that's like got the super heavy drip, like you show up in it and everyone's like looking at you going like, damn, bro, you know, like that, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, like the Louis Vuitton chest rig, right? You know, that's some heavy, like it's Louis Vuitton, but people are gonna say Gucci for some reason, even though Gucci is like lesser than Louis. So, you know, a contradictory sort of in that fashion there, but it's got the drip, if you know what I'm saying, guys. All right. If you know, you know, you look hot wearing it, right? Right now, you know, I really like rocking the Ice Tactical with the fanny pack. You know, to me, that adds to the old Gucci factor on it because I can wear them separately. It can be a dangler or a fanny pack. Bring back the fanny pack, ladies and gentlemen. Slim down. One mag.
I got you, fam.
but you're running a drum mag, so we all know you don't need to reload.
I mean, if Mac would share the mags, I might not have to resort to a drum mag.
Yo, dude, I've already told you.
This is some sibling rivalry stuff that I'm seeing
here.
What
is going on, man?
It's my stuff.
Yeah. I'm saying that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah, yo, exactly. Yo, you know what's up.
I got it.
100%. See?
Yo, are you right? About that life, dog?
Right? And so another thing, too, is don't always fall for the hype, though, because some hype gear stuff, you know what I'm saying, isn't always like the best, right? Like you can have something that's Gucci and just because it's like trending at the time and whatnot, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. Like for example, I love my Pharaoh Concepts, the Slingster. It's great. I really, really like it. It's got a really nice tab and everything like that, but it's starting to wear out. Unfortunately, and just with the setup that I have it on a particular gun, the nylon itself is actually starting to wear out, and I'm gonna have to get it recut and whatnot, right? It is really nice, but I'm losing points on the whole durability factor on that. I'm not having the same issue on some of my other platforms or other slings that I have. So that's sort of like an example, you know, when it comes to, you know, don't always go for Gucci. Is not always Gucci. Yeah. If you get what I'm saying, right? You know, sometimes you just got to keep it OG, you know? You know,
you can buy mine if you want.
Okay. So basically that leads us into our next thing where we're going to talk about, you know, like obviously us as adults, our lives are a lot different than, you know, the children or other adults out there that have, you know, wives, lives, significant others, and
or children.
Know, exactly. The dependents, the children, that is definitely where a lot of money goes. Henry, on the other hand, does not love his daughter. And, you know, oh, speak of the devil. Sorry. I mean, the princess. We're talking about gear right now. But yeah, so, you know, obviously everyone's got a budget and everything like that. And, you know, some people consider some things expensive, you know, other things inexpensive. But then there's also things where even if it is expensive, exactly, you shouldn't cheap out on them, you know, and it comes down to where you should save your money. So, Poi, you know, if you can give me a rough range, like, you know, what's a number that you don't ever want to see? Right, like that you're like, if something's around this price range, I'm not gonna grab this. And then something that is, you know, like for me, like I always see Wish prices or Amazon prices, and sometimes I get scared. I'm like, that's very, oh, look at the princess.
So yeah, price points. For me, when I first started off, again, this is like this is different scenery from what it is now 10 years ago. I started off just looking at, you know, current military gear and what they look like. So I was looking at stuff from, like, you know, Iraq, because, you know, the war in Iraq was still a thing back in the days, and then the war in Afghanistan is still a thing. Looking at the gear that they had from 2008, you know, 2006, 2008, all the way there. And, yeah, I was just looking at stuff and referencing it, and then I go online and see if, you know, what is publicly available for me. This is me not having, like, you know, Facebook wasn't still a thing back in the days to look at, like, you know, like, impressionist gears or anything like that. I was just out there on my own, you know, with my group of teammates that, you know, we played airsoft, looking at the gear. You know, we knew that we were going to go for, like, that Marine look, so we all took the uniform of just having like a MARPAT, and then on top of that, whatever gear we can find that was just reference photos. So I know it's not like a nice dream of, like, looking at, like, you know, going to groups, going to, you know, telling them, here's your list of requirements. We had none of that back in the days, right? So I ended up buying a lot of cheap Condor gear, right, just so that I could get started, you know, started off with, like, just a pouch at the front, and then started climbing up to the belts, and then the sling, and then, you know, the airsoft upgrades later on, which push back the gear upgrades and all of that. So yeah, looking at around, like, you know, I started at, like, $500 just for, like, pouches, gear, belts, boots, without the BDU. The BDU was, like, another $150 right off the bat. But yeah, $500 just for gear alone. And yeah, that's a number I got started with, and I try to make sure that people don't fall in the same mistake I did, which is basically, like, you know, just buy whatever. But at the same time, it's like, I would say they have to make the same mistake, because that's progression to me. Like, you buy something, you either like it or don't like it. You can't judge people on, you know, like what Henry says, like, you know, if he doesn't like it, it's not comfortable, then he's not gonna, you know, that's a negative investment for him, right? Because you've just bought the gear and you don't like it. That's pretty much your personal R&D process.
Like, right off the bat, yeah. you're on a losing foot.
Yeah, so yeah. That's why I always think that, yeah, going repro first, then trying it out, gives you that opportunity to make sure that it fits, make sure that it's right for you before you start getting into the heavier stuff, right? They're repro for a reason, right? They're cheap, and then you could go to the real stuff later on if it works out for you. So yeah, $500 was a price point I had. Again, this is different 10 years ago. Inflation was different, you know, gear. You know, like, 10 years ago, $30 gear was a thing. It's not anymore. It's like $60 for, like, a cheap gear now, yeah. Right? So, yeah, it's different, right? You talk to me, it's going to be a different story versus you guys, which, you know, you probably started acquiring stuff 3-4 years ago. Different scene, right? You like, some of the stuff never existed. Influencers never existed to promote products such as, like, Haley Strategic. Back then, it was what? Like, Magpul? Right, that was my scene back then. Say, right, yeah, that's Magpul. Why. That's why. That's why I own a lot of Magpul stuff, because I've watched their videos. I've done this. I've trained with the videos. You know, my reloads are basically from back in the days when.
Did someone say Air Splat?
Air Splat. I don't even know.
Whoa! Air Splat. Air Splat, my boy.
Oh
god.
Oh my god.
He's got it. He's got
He's
it.
He's got everything. But yeah, that's I guess adjusted inflation, like, 500 plus is something I don't want to see someone spend on too much right away. I mean, again, it's all up to you.
You're gonna advise them otherwise. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, or at least spend that 500 in the because exactly where
they need to feel the emotion, the feeling of regret.
And the bitter.
The feeling of disgust that you made a mistake and that you need to do more DYOR.
I think that is a progression that people need to learn, right? When they realize that, oh, it doesn't work. I literally just spent like $300 or $200 on something that doesn't work. That's on me. Right.
Too bad that cost me 500 doru.
And the thing is, some of this R&D stuff that I did to myself personally, I still have it. I haven't sold it. I still have it on my container. Again, because I have now, like, room to store them on. I haven't gotten rid of it. I just stored them. If people need it, I'll be like, hey, here, try this out, see if it works for you, right? It's mm-hmm. I was skinnier back then, you know, and now I'm bigger now, so here you go, try this one, you're skinnier now, see if it works for you, right? So yeah, I mean, $500, that's, for me, that's like a little bit, like it's climbing there a little bit. Like if you're spending $500 on one single piece of gear, I highly don't recommend it.
Mm-hmm. It better be a helmet.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that, it'll just be it's just a bump helmet.
Yeah, it's a bump helmet. You're not getting anything else out of that $500.
Yeah, no, 500. Okay, and we'll keep going in the order here. Yeah, Raisin. So basically, you know, like when it comes to a budget, right? Like obviously, there's something that's too cheap. There's something that's too expensive, or you know, maybe it's like a high enough level of quality for you that you know you'll bite the bullet on a price and stuff like that. You know, and obviously you've already talked about resistance when it comes to durability and everything like that, right? So in your mind, right, like where are you saving the money and where are you putting that money? So obviously I know where that second question is going, but
so in terms of budget, I don't necessarily want to limit myself, you know.
Did you just check if your girlfriend was in the room?
But I won't set like a number in terms of budget, but I will be like conscious about like how much I'm spending, of course like I'm not gonna be like, all right, buy, like I won't do that. I'm like smarter with my money than some might think. But so when I first started Airsoft, when I was like, actually when I was 16 was when I had my first Airsoft gun. And then I didn't really play though. I was just like a chair softer. I waited till like I was 18 and that's when I like bought gear. And I'd probably spent about like $200, that's it, on gear. Like I bought a Condor chest rig. I just wanted something to hold everything. I didn't care about like what it looked like. So I had, wore like sweat jeans or sweatpants and a t-shirt and like my Condor chest rig. Carry my mags and I had like I had some paintball mask because I wore glasses, so I had a paintball mask and that was it. And then I stopped airsofting for like a long time and I pretty much got back into it like last year or year before. And then I was like, I need to get like new gear, right? But I need something to like hold everything and all this stuff. So I started with like a Repro chest rig because like I do like trust like expensive stuff. But I still wasn't sure like how much I'd go airsofting. So I got a chest rig. I think it was like a one Tigers chest rig for like $60. And that thing is amazing for the price. Like I would highly recommend anybody who like wants like a cheap chest rig, get that. Like I've beat that thing to shit and it's like not broken yet. Stitching's all there. So afterwards I was like, okay, I'm carrying more like heavier stuff and like GBB mags. I don't want to like put so much stress onto like a chest rig because I was just using AEG mags before. So I was like thinking, what's good? So I bought the Slickster because it was a good price. I just wanted like a cheaper like good quality plate carrier that can use placards because I like the placard system because it is like adaptable. Like you can have like two placards, you know, if you have two sets of, you know, guns that one shoots like 7.62, one shoots 5.56, you can just swap out your placards, right? So I like that system. So I bought the Slickster because it was pretty affordable. I think it was like $250, $300 all in. And then the placard, I think the placard is where I kind of like looked for a cheaper alternative because I could have bought the Faro stuff. And I looked at the price, like a Faro placard, like is like $100 just for the placard. Plus you need
just for like a triple mag, right? One. Yeah, exactly.
You can get like the triple mag like insert thing and that only holds like mags. But that's like it's still like $70, I think, or $60. So I went with a Persec placard. It's like $40 and I just put some Kiwi S-Tac, the Kiwi plastic inserts that ran me about like maybe $60 all in. And that's the placard setup. $60 shipping actually. And that's where I put my money in. And like the belt, you know, the belt was just kind of like, I just went to DS and just like tried on different belts and felt what was comfortable and like within like a budget. Like the Bison is great, and I've heard great things about it. Like, I know people who use it, like, out for work, on the field. People, I know people use it for airsoft, and I know it's a really good belt for what it is, but for me, like, $300 for a belt is, like, pretty high, right? But, so I just got a cheap belt. Like, the HSGI is, like, $100, and I called it a day. Holster, I probably could have got away with using, like, my shitty $20, like, SciTac holster for my high kappa. But I wanted to, like, splurge a little bit, and so I bought a Safari Land, and I also bought an Alien Gear. And it makes a difference in terms, like, of retention and just construction. So, like, I've bashed the thing on, like, concrete. At the Milsom, I've fell on rocks and stuff, and the thing's still in one piece. I guarantee, like, a $20, $30 holster won't do that. So there's that. And, like, the last thing I didn't cheap out on was eyewear. And that's something I'll tell everybody to do. Like, never cheap out on eyewear. And it's the thing that bugs me the most is, like, airsoft retailers that sell, like, repro eyewear, which is, like, I don't know why that even exists and why they would even sell it. Like, Trigger, for example, has listings for Wolf Sport goggles. Like, I'm not going to trust my eyes with Wolf Sport, right? Like, you only have two eyes, right? You lose one. Yeah, sure, you got another eye, but, like, come on. That could have been avoided if you just spent, like, you could have bought Pyramex, like, on Amazon. Those are rated. Valken rebrands Pyramex goggles and glasses, right? Yeah. So you can buy those, and they're, like, $30, and that will last you. Don't buy those repro, like, I don't even know, repro revisions, like, repro Wolf Sport revisions, you know? Yeah. Like, don't do that.
Repro M-frames. Wait, what about?
Yeah, repro M-frames.
And the shop glasses, that always scares me, too.
Same.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I know some people wear it. I know it's a quick alternative. It's cheap. But exactly. Just that, man. It is so quick and so cheap. And those things are only rated for one impact, not for you to get shot in the eye like six times. Like, I literally had a dude who was all like, yeah, man, I've gotten shot in these a bunch of times. And I'm like, and you're still playing with them? Like, that was my look to him. I was like, I think you should go get some new eye pro, man. Like, that's not okay. Like, you know,
they signed a waiver.
That's for, like, at least, like, for gear. Like, I just bought whatever was, like, kind of reasonably priced and
worked for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't go in and, like, try everything on. Like, the belts I kind of tried on, but, like, the plate carrier I did do some research on, like, different types of plate carriers out, like JPCs, the FCPC, the Slickster, the HRT stuff. Like, I looked at them, like, so far the Slickster, like, the price point was, like, it met the mark, right? Like, if I bought a JPC for, like, $400 or $500, however much they are, would it have been better than my Slickster? Well, for what I do, maybe, probably not. I would have just been $300 poorer. And I used all the savings into my, like, airsoft guns, because those matter, like, probably the most. Like, it doesn't matter what gear you have.
Yeah, how the gun performs.
Yeah, who cares like if you have an Arc'teryx flight suit or whatever, Arc'teryx suit or $800 Arc'teryx jacket and, like, cry pants for, like,
$400. No. You look good with the broken gun. That's what it means.
Yeah, like, I still just
like if your airsoft gun can't even hit somebody from, like, a decent range, it doesn't matter what you look like, man.
You should just go home.
I'm just here for the shooting range, man.
But yeah, that's just my opinion on, like, gear and, like, how to budget. Just buy whatever is in, you know,
in your means, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Henry, now I'm opening it up for you, brother. Same thing, right? You know, like, what is your budget, sir? you know, what is this, you know, is there a number that you find is, like, too excess, too expensive, or is there something that is worth it that you are looking at, you know, getting or anything like that? And then where is it that you feel that you have saved money, and where is it you would tell other players, like, where can you save money and where not to save money?
Money. You're funny. I don't have any. So there was essentially two phases. So in the beginning, the KDub, right? Beginning, just hold the mags, hold what I thought I needed, a flashlight at the airsoft field for some reason. All the random stuff, I had Band-Aids. I did not know what I was doing. And then eventually I moved on to a Condor plate carrier. served the basic purposes. It was pretty rugged. You know, I shoved random things on it. I had that, what was it, pinata stick I was running around with that was like blue, yellow, pink, and all that. And I had it in my backpack or my back. And then there was a point where, you know, take everything Dennis said and then accelerate that, because Dennis, Tom, and I, we basically bounced off each other. We were each other's catalysts, right?
It's a dick measuring contest. Yeah. Whatever I buy, he has to, whatever I buy or whatever Tom gets, he has to get something better or more expensive.
100%.
Like, well, it was just bouncing further back is to the reviews, the amount of things that people have said, the durability and all that. And I trusted Dennis to guide me in that. So definitely the velocity take was really high pace, since I've only been playing since November, right? And you guys got quite a few years on me, so I'm going to have to trust you guys on your experience. But for my wallet, that wasn't exactly the best method. It burned a hole quite quick, but again, the trust is there from Dennis and Tom. Like, you know, FCPC. Oh, okay, that was just because I needed the Molly, Dennis. Come on. But the FCPC was great, overall great investment. And basically, yeah, everything that Dennis has said. And also the not so great part is that he buys the stuff that I don't want. So I had like my placard, my S-Tax. I was using it. It was too simple. I didn't feel like I could utilize it. And he's like, all right, $40. I'm like, oh. And then I realized after the fact, oh shit, I paid like $90 for those. And they were like, basically,
yo, you're not supposed to be telling people this. This is, where do you think I'm getting my cheap gear from?
Yeah, yo, I thought we were friends, man. What the, those are the friend deals. Yo, it was only, it was only 40 for you.
So definitely budget. There was two scenarios, but I stand by it. Like Dennis said, if it feels and it functions to your what you want, and similar to Poise, trial and error. Of course, my method was slightly more expensive because I dove right into the deep end, right? And it hurts a little as well. I mean, at one point, you know, Dennis's Slickster got called an Emerson, and that was pretty funny.
That must hurt. Yeah. That must hurt.
Okay, I'm still recovering.
Right. And then all of a sudden, Mac went up to me and called my FCPC a wolf sport. So.
How dare you?
But we know. Inside, the pain can only last so long.
Yeah, come on, man. You know I'm wearing my Shadow Strategic.
Right. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. The budget, if it works, I don't pay too much attention to it.
Okay, Tack, well, coming down to you, brother, the one that is kind of like me, but opposite of me, but not me, and yeah, bud, what's expensive? You haven't bought anything. I don't know why I'm asking questions.
Hey, what's expensive? Anything that takes more than 3 paychecks to buy, all right? You know what budget? Something I can buy in 1 paycheck.
So the Lee and Hart convenience store at located at Panther Airsoft.
Wait, that's only food. What are you talking about? Are you telling me I can't afford gear?
You can't afford gear, Tack. That's why I buy you gear.
That's nice safari land you got there, Tack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tack. Haven't seen it yet, though.
Oh, yeah, no, well, you know. I like playing half naked most of the time.
Yeah, you like buying stuff and just leaving it there in the corner.
Yeah.
What's it gonna do there? Nothing. Whatever.
I would use that new holster though, but I'd have to get my Glock back. Wonder what that is. But when it comes to budget stuff, honestly, it's something that you can easily pick up. And to me, it always comes down to like something you can pick up in one from one paycheck kind of thing. Something that isn't going to hurt, something that you can just be like, okay, get it, you know, whatever kind of thing. Anything that you kind of have to save up for, right? to me is something that is expensive. Although, you know what? There's some of you out there, you know, where you can get expensive items in one paycheck, and good for you. Hey, show that drip off so that I can buy it for 60% less when you have regrets.
Dennis.
Come to me with deals.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it for me when it comes to that, Mackie.
Okay, perfect. Okay. You know, obviously everyone's coming from different you know, standpoints on it and stuff like that. You know, it sucks. We were supposed to have one more guest on here today. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it because I wanted to talk about the impression side of things. So I know you two yourselves haven't partaken or slash don't care on that side of Airsoft, which is totally fine because, I mean, obviously there's something for everybody. Tack and I have dabbled in it. And I really mean the word dabble because Airsoft itself is a rabbit hole. But when you start trying to reenact or do an impression of a certain group or faction or, you know, however broad you want to do it and stuff like that, if you basically want to do like cool guy cosplay or like, I don't know, what was the really memey way of saying attack? It's like non-anime cosplay or something like that is basically what they're trying to do. But yeah, it can be daunting. It can be really mean. Poi and I have had discussions about this at length. You know, it sucks because, you know, you wish you could be friends with everyone. You wish people could be nice, but that's not the case. There is evil out in the world and they don't want you to have a good time. But so we'll leave the impressions off of...
I think that's another
We'll leave that segment, to another segment, and we'll bring some people on for that because... yeah, like I said, that's a whole nother can of worms and stuff like that. But again, really appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your thoughts about gear and everything like that. Raisin and Henry, Poi, Tack, thank you so much. I don't really have much more to kind of go off of, but if you would each like to give me a piece of advice for some of the new players that we have had join in, hopefully they have made it to the end of the podcast here. And, you know, so if there's any advice that you have tailored to the new players of this season, you know, coming in now and stuff like that with everything that we've discussed, everything that we've learned. And yeah, we'll start off with you, Poi.
So I want to touch on something that hasn't been discussed a lot before. And I know our good friend David has done this a lot of times. Learn how to tailor your stuff. There is a huge need for that because if you realize what you're putting on you is basically fabrics, Condora stuff, just hard materials that can, you can just do it yourself. If you know how to sew, if you have a machine that can do it, if you learn how to do that, you can make your own unique gear, right? This is, if you're looking for...
Which he has, right?
Yeah, like... yeah, which he has. So actually Jill was mentioning that to me. He's like, what if I just start sewing stuff for these guys? Would they like pay a lot? I'm like, you know, yes. I haven't actually gotten into that discussion before. And that is just, since we're talking about gear, that's just one of those things where it hasn't been dove into a lot because everybody just buys. But they don't realize that, you know, it requires maintenance, right? Yeah. And it's just one of those things that are just lackluster for us, right? So I was like, why don't, if someone knows how to sew, you're in good business to start, you know, handing out cards and stuff and start sewing stuff, right? Because I was thinking about it with her, and she wanted to figure out if there's a way to, like,
well,
do a business out of
you,
that.
Let's make you a sign and put it in, the right in front of checkout, yeah. Right, check-in, and then just be all like, did you rip your pants?
Yeah. Well, that's a big one, right? Yeah.
Get me a IKEA chest rig, and I'll pay.
See, that's where I was segueing into.
Yo,
right,
the I have an IKEA bag.
Yeah, Amazon placard. Let's go.
Yeah, Amazon like the logo.
Like home. If you were good at home economics class and you know how to sew, I think this is probably the best thing to like dive into. Like,
this is
big
bucks,
opening up a store, buying all that stuff, no problem, right? Like, and then you guys sell it. But it's different when you're doing repairs, right?
Yeah.
Tack can understand when you're doing gun repairs, that's a different type of beast just from buying stuff, right? Tailoring, on the other hand, is also a different beast because you're.
Well, yeah, that's a whole. Well, I completely overlooked that. Thank you for bringing that up.
It goes a long way, actually. You know,
and because... I will talk to you later because there were five pairs of pants there with a blown out crotch, and I just
I'm actually looking at sewing machines that can do both, that can sew true Condor and as well a con. How do you say it?
Cordura. There's no N in there,
and as well as making patches like a 7x7 patch.
Okay.
Yeah. So it seems to be like a good thing. But yeah, I'll talk to offline about it. But yeah, this is one of those things where if you're new, if you know how to tailor stuff, by all means, go for it. No one's gonna judge you. I mean, we're not gonna judge you. If you do it, we're actually impressed and we want to talk to you and be like, hey, I got some stuff you could sew.
Yeah, I actually just require your services.
So yeah, that's just one of those things that like when I was talking about this topic and then Jill's like, oh, are you guys gonna sew? And I'm like, and then you know that meme where it's like math in the background. You know, you're like, oh, we've overlooked this so many years.
How did we forget?
Yeah, and David has been doing that with
He's made his own kit.
Yeah, he's made his own
really
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah,
like he made his own jelly bean plate carrier and stuff like that. That was really cool.
The LARPing / impressionist community will probably love to have you on board because stuff like that. Like unobtainium gear, especially, is
it's hard. So if you can repro it, and repro it well,
there you go. That's my addition to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dennis, give me your piece of advice for any new players that are coming in and stuff like that. I mean, you've given some pretty good golden nuggets in here, so hopefully the kids will listen through and hear that. But if there's anything else that you might have forgot or something that you'd like to add,
I'll repeat the same thing I said earlier. Invest in good eye protection, goggles, glasses, even paintball masks, like the Dye i4. Just spend the money. Like that is the first thing you should buy before you even think of buying any other set of gear. Like who cares? Run around with one mid cap or one high cap for all I care. Mm-hmm. Buy good eye protection. There's no reason not to. Mm-hmm. And the second piece of advice I'd say, just don't listen to whatever anyone tells you about like gear. Just wear what you
don't
have.
Don't listen to one person, right? Like,
well,
don't listen to one.
What was that, Dennis?
Yeah, like wear what you have. Be happy with it. If you like it,
just don't like, listen to your friends.
Yeah.
Or
it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter if it's repro or real. If you like it, it works for you. It's comfortable. Just run it. It doesn't matter. Like, who cares if your repro costs less than some other guy's real like $800 setup. Like, it doesn't matter. If you enjoy it, just enjoy the sport, enjoy the hobby, and buy good eyewear. That's all I can say.
Okay, perfect. And Henry, we'll bounce on over to you, brother. Any new piece of advice for any of the new players that we've had to deal with these last few weekends?
Yeah. Actually, so kids showing up, showing pretty trippy already. They've got their camo, their multicam, and they've got their face mask, their helmets, all that. So
they must listen to our podcast, you know.
They've gotten a leg up, per se, from when, you know, some of us started, and for you guys, it's way back. But yeah, again, safety first, right? You can't have fun when you're blue.
Oh, I think we lost Henry.
Oh, no.
No, no. Henry?
I was gonna be like, is it us?
No, sorry. But yeah, safety first. And then the second thing is figure out what you want to do with your gear. Where you want to move towards. Do you want to move it towards LARPing or more towards functionality? Like if you want to run HPA, so where are you gonna put your grip lines? Where are you gonna put different items? Or if you're gonna run gas, where is your weight distribution gonna go? Are you gonna do fret back, side, left? And AG of all, it's, you know, light mags everywhere. What do you want to do with it? And really envision how modular and how you can prolong your gear further. Because they are expensive. And once you made the commitment, you know, you build on top of that and you don't make the mistakes that I've made.
Okay, perfect. And Tack, last but not least, give me any advice you have for the new players that have come and picked your brain and asked you what to do and upgrade their guns and whatever they can do to make them a better player. Go.
Okay. Well, right off the bat, gear does not make you a better player. upgrading your gun first is always the most important thing. And after you reach that peak airsoft moment, you need to move up 50 feet to therefore actually hit your targets. But back on a serious note, guys.
I'm pretty sure
I'm hitting that guy. Yeah. I'm hitting that guy.
I'm pretty sure my Supreme gear can
guarantee can you. They're cheating.
As a man who plays half naked in airsoft quite often, I will say this: you guys hit my legs and you guys hit my neck. So you're either underhopping or overhopping. So, yeah. Other than the really close shots that I get from Matt. Oh man. Oh. But yeah,
Where could someone upgrade their gun?
Yeah.
Come on, Tag.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah,
who will do that for them, Tag?
Yeah, who would do that? listen to your peers, right? Like Mac was saying, don't listen to just one person, because one person's experience isn't going to tell it all, kind of thing. Everyone's going to have a different perspective, and sometimes you're going to find things that match that person's sort of idea or experience, and maybe you're going to play it a little bit differently and whatnot. So you're always going to be able to find the benefits from more than just listening to more than one person. But you also want to, like, it really depends on you as well as a person, right? If you want to go through that experience yourself, right, because you think you know it all, then by all means go ahead and spend your money and go through all the pain and then come to us and be like, you were right, right? Or you can decide to try and listen to us and save a little bit of money. But other than that, really, there's nothing more for me to say. You know, just make sure you guys are listening to our podcasts or listening to our chats, you know, asking the questions when you guys are at the field, asking the questions when you guys are in our Discord, because there's a lot of knowledge out there. But you got to kind of ask specific questions if you want them answered.
I need new friends. I need new friends. Hey, Dennis, what should I get? And I get something that's, quote, something super expensive. Oh, maybe Tack or Mac has a better idea. Oh, no, the Spiritus is real nice. Oh, well, crap.
Sure, Tack, I'll buy it.
Tack, please, reason. Be the voice of reason. And then he just shows the drip. Oh, this is limited edition. Like, oh, shit. Well, I guess I'm broke.
That's one of those things that is a very, very good marketing term, limited edition run.
Oh, I guess,
for the kids out there, they can make it. It's just they're doing it for the limited run. Yeah, they're just doing it so that they could get the most money out of it in one run. And then they'll release it again.
And then suddenly,
telling me my limited edition kilo desert jacket is not worth anything?
It's not one of a kind.
What?
I'm just saying, get used to the marketing terms, guys. These guys are influencers. These guys are working in Instagram, and everything to do with marketing is basically what they're doing best, is trying to sell as much stuff as they can.
Hey, I found this dusty old box in the corner of the warehouse. We just happen to have 500 in stock now.
Oh my god.
Buy it now.
Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up our little gear discussion here and stuff like that. It's unfortunate. I did want to have the impression side of it in here, but I think what I'll do is make sure I grab a couple of impressionists and we can pick their brains on why they do it and why they care. And is one-to-one that big of a deal? Some will say yes. Some will die on a hill to say yes.
It's a sub hobby on its own at that point.
It is, exactly. Yeah. So other than that, that pretty much wraps up episode 94 of the Panther Airsoft Folding Table Talk. Tack, if you'd like, you could take it away.
Oh, okay. Well, Mac, as Mac said, guys, this has been episode 94. If you like what you heard here, slap that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell if you want to see Poi uploading this on time. And with that, we'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya later.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.